Would you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 12? I'm glad you got all your clocks turned ahead for this morning. If you see somebody walking up the sidewalk just a little bit before noon, don't laugh at them. Be understanding. Pick on them later. We've been looking at Romans chapter 12 from the standpoint of discipleship. Christ made it very clear that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Discipleship is about relationship, and Romans 12 is about relationship. Our relationship with God as a disciple of Christ is one of surrender to God in verse 1 of Romans 12. Our relationship with the world as a disciple of Christ is one of separation from the world's values in verse 2. And then our relationship with ourselves as a disciple of Christ in verses 3 through 8 is one of sober self-assessment. And now we come to verses 9 through 13. As a disciple of Christ, what should our relationship be with other disciples, with believers? Notice verses 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing diligently in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. As you read those verses, it becomes, I believe, quite obvious that as a disciple of Christ, our relationship with our fellow believers is one of service in love. Service in love. This morning we're going to look at just at verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10 seem to emphasize that love aspect. Next week we'll look at verses 11 through 13, which emphasize the service aspect. But it's serving one another in love. That should be our relationship with our fellow believers, our fellow disciples. Serving one another in love. Let's bow in prayer. Father, once again, as we come to your word, we understand that we're not going to be able to apply this to our lives without being surrendered to the Holy Spirit in our lives. In fact, we're not even going to be able to understand what we read apart from allowing the Spirit to teach us. And I pray that we've come with those humbled hearts this morning to be taught by you, to be molded and shaped by you, allow you to work in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Begins in verse 9, let your love be without hypocrisy. Love without hypocrisy. Now maybe your translation uses the word dissimulation, or maybe it simply says let your love be sincere or genuine. The word hypocrisy comes from the Greek word hypokritos, and that's the word that's used here, hypokritos, hypocrisy. It wasn't always a negative word. In fact, at first, this hypokritos was a positive word. It was used with reference to actors who were putting on a show, a theatrical play. And as an actor, you pretend to be someone or to be something that you really aren't. That's the art of acting. And that's the word that was used with reference to an actor who was just pretending in a theatrical play to be something that they weren't. But then that word took on a negative connotation as it was used with reference to someone who in real life was pretending to be someone or something they really weren't. A hypocrite. And that's the word that's used here. And so it was a word that was used with reference to one pretending to be something that they really were not. And so he says, let your love be without hypocrisy. In other words, let your love be genuine and sincere, not a pretend. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 that we are to love in our actions and in truth or in sincerity and not in word only. A word-only love is a hypocritical love. It is a pretend love. You're just putting on a show, but it's not real. And so he says to us, let your love be without hypocrisy. Our love for one another must be a genuine, sincere love, because a pretend hypocritical love in word only is no love at all. It's a phony. It's a fake. It's just putting on a show. It's pretending, like an actor. How often is our love for others simply acting, pretending, putting on a show, not genuine, not sincere? Let your love be without hypocrisy. In John chapter 15, verse 35, we're told that the real telltale sign of a disciple of Christ, disciples of Christ, is that they're genuine love for one another. Christ says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. A genuine, sincere love. The love that Christ has for us is not pretend. The love that Christ has for us is not just putting on a show. The love that Christ has for us is genuine and sincere, and therefore, as disciples of Christ, our love must be genuine and sincere. Not just putting on a show, not just acting. Now, as he emphasizes that truth, let your love be without hypocrisy, he goes on and says, abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. This love without hypocrisy, this genuine, unhypocritical love, involves the abhorrence of evil and clinging to that which is good. Now, why does he put that in here? What does abhorrence of evil have to do with unhypocritical love? And I believe the thought is simply this. Sometimes, in the name of love, we accept evil. In the name of love, we tolerate sin. And so as Paul emphasizes, as he writes this, as he emphasizes that this love must be genuine and sincere, unhypocritical, he does remind us that that love does not mean the acceptance of sin. Does not mean the tolerance of sin, as some will, in the name of love, accept evil and accept sin. And so do not confuse love for others as acceptance of the sin of others. We've all heard the saying, love the sinner, hate the sin. And that's in essence what Paul's saying here. Love the sinner, love one another, but hate the sin. I need to love you. I need to hate your sin. I need to hate my sin. And that's where hypocrisy comes in also. Sometimes we'll love others and we'll hate their sin, but we won't hate our own sin. And that becomes hypocritical as well. And so he says, love others unhypocritically with a genuine, sincere love. Don't just put on a show, but don't allow that love to accept sin. Abhor sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul addresses a situation in the church at Corinth. There was a man, a member of their church, who was committing fornication. And it was fornication that Paul says wasn't even accepted by the unbelievers. He was committing fornication with his stepmother. And we read there in 1 Corinthians 5 that the church was lifted up with pride. Why? Well, apparently, in the name of love, they were accepting this man and his sin. And they were lifted up with pride. Aren't we loving? Look how much we love this person. We accept him, and they were accepting his sin. And Paul writes, and he says, no, you do need to love that individual, but you need to remove him from your membership. You cannot accept his sin. You must abhor sin. Don't confuse love for the brothers as acceptance of the sin of others. And don't accept it in yourself. I need to abhor sin. Again, some of your translations say abhor that which is evil. It is a very strong word. It is a word this is the only place in Scripture where this word is used. And it is a loathing of sin. And it is an abhorrence of sin. It is that hatred of sin. The word itself, and I don't always like to throw out Greek words because it can be confusing, but sometimes it helps. This word is a compound word. It's the Greek word stugao, which means to hate, and it's the word apo, which means from. Apo stugao means to hate from. And the thought of this word is to hate something and abhor something and loathe something so much that you separate from it. That's this word. To abhor evil and sin so much that I'm going to separate from it. Not necessarily separating from the sinner. We need to love the sinner. But we separate from the sin. We do not involve ourselves in the sin of others in the name of love. We separate from the sin. And the word stugao, which means to hate or to abhor, there's another Greek word, miseo, which means to hate also. And that word is actually used quite more frequently in Scripture, miseo. The difference between the two, stugao, which is used here, and miseo. Miseo is a concealed hatred. And that's often the hatred that we have for other people. We conceal our hatred. Again, we put on kind of an outward show for people, and we maybe don't express that hatred, but inside, in our heart, we truly have a hatred for someone. We conceal it. This word, stugao, is the word that means a hatred that's expressed. And so as you put this whole thought together, the overall thought of this word that's used in verse 9 is that we must express our hatred of evil and separate from it. That's the whole thought here. Abhor that which is evil. We must hate evil. We must hate that sin, that we are going to separate ourselves from it, and we're going to express that hatred by separating ourselves from it. Now, I'm not saying that we jump down the throat of sinners and express to them how much we hate their sin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we express our hatred of sin by separating ourselves from it and not engaging ourselves in that sin. And again, often, that's what people do in the name of love. Paul says, don't confuse love for others with love for their sin. Abhor that which is evil. Loathe that sin that you're going to separate yourself from it and express your hatred by not involving yourself in that sin. The opposite of hating that evil and that sin and separating from it is cling to that which is good. Cling to that which is good. As we separate ourselves from what is evil, we are to attach ourselves to what is good. And this word cling is the word to hold fast to adhere to attach yourself to join yourself to. It is the same exact word that's used with reference to a man leaving his mother and father and cleaving to his wife. Cleaving to his wife, adhering himself and joining himself to his wife as he leaves mother and father in marriage. That's this word. Again, a very powerful word. We are to join ourselves to that which is good as we separate from that which is evil. You perhaps have heard the thought of cleaving to one's wife as being glued to or even being welded to one's wife, and that is the thought of this word. To adhere yourself to join yourself to attach yourself to glue yourself to. We need to glue ourselves to that which is good as we separate from that which is evil. In the name of love, do not join yourself to that which is evil, but only to that which is good. Many of us, as disciples, are not the disciples that we should be because we're not willing to take that stand. Not willing to stand against evil and attach ourselves to that which is good. And often, it is in the name of love. We deceive ourselves into thinking that love means I need to participate in the sin of others to show them how much I love them. And Paul says that's not unhypocritical love. Unhypocritical love is separating ourselves from the sin and clinging, adhering ourselves to that which is good. Verse 10, he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now he begins to talk about love with devotion. He speaks of love without hypocrisy. Now he talks about love with devotion. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. That word brotherly love is actually the word Philadelphia. Adelphos is the word for brother, and phileo is the word for love. So you have Philadelphia. We know that Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. At least that's what the name means. Not sure I would want to live there. In fact, I was just talking to a pastor friend of mine that is pastoring a church in Philadelphia this week, and I was just picking on him a little bit, and with our new governor in our state and his budget that he proposed this week, and he wants to have that extraction tax, which will do away with the impact fee that is used now. And I said to this pastor there in Philadelphia, I said, I really hope that you enjoy all the money that you as a city is going to get from this extraction fee while we who are impacted by it all get nothing. The city of brotherly love. He just laughed at me. That's the word. In brotherly love, be kindly affectioned one to another. In brotherly love, be kindly affectioned one to another. This word, kindly affection, is just one word, and it is a word that refers to the natural love and devotion that a parent has for a child. It refers to the natural love that a parent has for a child and the devotion that that parent has for that child. So in brotherly love, be affectionately devoted to one another as a parent for his child. Our love for one another as believers, our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, should be just as natural as a parent's love and devotion for their child. That's a pretty amazing thought. Our love for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ should be just as natural as a parent's love and devotion for their child. When you think about a parent's love and devotion, certainly you think of unconditional love, sacrificial love. That's the natural love that a parent has for a child. So this word is referring to the natural love that a parent has for a child. And I want to look at that thought first of unconditional love. Such a love is an unconditional love that remains devoted no matter what the circumstances. A parent's love for a child, no matter what the circumstances, there is a love and devotion for that child. That child may hurt you. That child may rebel against you. That child may cause great pain in your heart and in your life, but he's always your child. And there's always a love. And there's always a devotion. And yes, sometimes there may be the necessity of what we call tough love, but there's always that love and devotion for that child. It's unconditional. No matter what the circumstances, there is still a love for that child. And though sometimes we may go through some difficult times with our children, there's that love. That's the natural love for a parent with their children. And that should be the natural love between brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, there is a natural love and devotion. Not only is it unconditional, but it's also sacrificial. A sacrificial love. Again, a parent in the love and devotion for their child is willing to sacrifice for that child, willing to give all for that child. And again, understanding sometimes there's that need for what we would refer to as tough love, and you don't give them just everything they want because that's not really love. You don't want to enable a child who perhaps is rebelling. And so please understand what I'm saying here, but there is a willingness to just sacrifice everything you've got for your child. It's a sacrificial love that is willing to give all. That's the natural love and devotion of a parent for their child. And that's the natural love that brothers and sisters in Christ are to have. Unconditional, regardless of the circumstance, sacrificial, regardless of what we may have to give up, our time, our effort, our energies, our opinions, our needs for the sake of others, a sacrifice. An unconditional, sacrificial, loving devotion for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In brotherly love, our brothers and sisters in Christ, loving them with the same unconditional, sacrificial love and devotion a parent has for their children. And then he says, in honor, preferring one another. So we have love without hypocrisy, love with devotion, and love with honor. In honor, preferring one another. Again, these words that he uses here, they're so powerful that I've got to bring out some of the idiosyncrasies of these words. This Greek word is another compound word, proegeo. Pro means before, egeo means either to think or to lead. This word egeo can mean either to think or to lead. So this proegeo is either think before or lead before. The normal interpretation of this is the thought of to think before. And it's the idea of simply, in honor, think of others before yourself. Consider the needs of others before your own needs. Regard the opinion of others before your own opinion. Think of others before yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that true love is not a selfish love. It does not seek its own. That's what true love is. And we're talking about a true, genuine, sincere love. And a genuine love without hypocrisy is not going to seek its own, but rather is going to think of others before themselves. It's not going to be a selfish love. They're going to think of the other's opinion and the other's thoughts and the other's needs before self. And it says to do so in honor. In honor. That word honor is the idea of value and worth. So the thought is that we think of others and we regard the opinion and desires and needs of others before ourselves because we recognize their value and their worth. We recognize the value and worth of others, and therefore we think of them before ourselves. We think of their needs and their opinions and their desires before our own because we regard their value and their worth. So the thought seems to be that we are to think of others before ourselves as we recognize their value and their worth. Now this thought of to lead before, some have interpreted it that way in this sense. Again, you recognize the value and worth of someone, and you recognize that value and worth. You take the lead in recognizing the value and worth of others. In other words, the idea is that you regard their value and their worth before they regard your value and your worth. You take the lead in that honor. You take the lead in that regard. You take the lead in recognizing their value and worth before they recognize your value and worth. And so some have taken it to mean that we are to take the lead before others in honoring them in recognition of their value and worth. Everybody's trying to regard the other first. before they're regarded. And when a church works that way with brotherly love, it's a wonderful thing to behold. Everyone's trying to take the lead in valuing the worth of others and to think of others before self. You know, we've always sometimes joked about, but unfortunately it's true, it's real. You know, how churches actually split over the color of carpet that they're going to put down. What a sad situation. What part of thinking of others before self don't we get? What part of regarding the value and worth of others before ourselves don't we get? What part of regarding the opinion of others before our own don't we get? What part of leading in recognizing the value and worth of others before they recognize our value and worth, what part of that don't we get? That we're going to actually split over what color of carpet we put down? Well, that's never happened here, never even came close to happening here, but it has happened in churches. And it's so sad. Because that's what these verses are addressing. Recognizing the value and worth of others so that we regard their opinion before our own. I'm not talking about sin here. I don't think there's any place in the Bible where it says it's sin to put blue carpet instead of red, or vice versa. I'm not talking about sin. We're talking about preferences, and we're talking about opinions. We're talking about likes and dislikes. And are we going to put others before ourselves? So he says, be kindly affection one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. A disciple of Christ is to have a love for other disciples that catches the world's attention. See, this is not the love that you're going to find in the world. And Christ said to his disciples that the world's going to know that you're my disciple because of your love for one another. And this is the kind of love he's talking about. And it's not the kind of love that's going to be seen in the world. It's the kind of love that those who are empowered by the Spirit of God in their lives, that this is the love they can have. A love that is indeed sincere. It's not hypocritical. It's not in word only. It's a genuine, unhypocritical love. It's a love that has a devotion that's just as natural as a parent's love and devotion for their child, unconditional and sacrificial. It's a love that is in honor, thinking of others before themselves because they recognize the value and worth of others, taking the lead in that recognition as they consider the opinions and needs and desires of others as valuable, and they consider it before their own. That's the love that's going to catch the world's attention. That's the love that others are going to look at and say, that's something different. In 1 John chapter 3, we're told, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And in that word, what manner of, is a word that refers to out of this world. See, the love that God has for us is out of this world. It's a divine love. It's not something that man can produce. It's not something that's in this world. It is a world, it's a love that is beyond this world. And that's the love that God has shown to us. And that's the love that He empowers us to have for others. It's a love that's out of this world. And when we express that love, it catches the world's attention. And they know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Is that our love for one another? Our brothers and sisters in Christ? Let's bow in prayer. Father, what a joy to meditate upon your love for us. Unconditional. and sacrificial. And you would desire us to have that same love for one another. Not just putting on a show, thinking of others before ourselves with a devotion that matches that of a parent for their children. And I'd pray, Father, that those around us would indeed see a love that's out of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we have come this morning to learn from you. As we've studied your word together, I pray that we might indeed apply that word to our hearts and to our lives. Father, this is not a love that we can produce from within ourselves. It is a love that only you can produce through the power of your Spirit. May we humble ourselves before you and allow you to work in our hearts to change us. Give us this love as we meditate upon your love for us, for we love you only because you first loved us, and we can only love others as we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.